okay? Don't be so hard on yourself. It's okay to mess up. It's okay to make those mistakes. But here's the kicker, is when you realize, I made this mistake, I gotta fix this part, I gotta correct this part and not go back to that thing, right? I gotta repent on that thing and not go back to it. You know, I gotta move away from that thing. I oftentimes say sometimes you gotta remove yourself to improve yourself, right? So sometimes you gotta remove yourself from certain situations to improve yourself and elevate yourself.
We living out the good life, yeah. I ain't gotta worry about a thing. Obstacles I overcame.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to ever be the same.
Oh Lord.
Cause when we change the mind, we change the game. Coming through clutch. Coming through clutch. Coming through clutch. Coming through clutch.
Listen. Welcome to the Kenneth Allen Thomas Show. We got my co-host, Mr. Nick Mingo, right here to my right. And we got Mr. Guy still in the building. Listen, we not virtual no more, y'all. We not virtual.
We live and direct.
We in person. Yes, we in person, you know what I'm saying? Listen, how was y'all weekends?
It was good. I had a good weekend, yeah. I was good. I was chilling.
Awesome. You?
You know, church picnic, kids.
I could dig it.
Yeah.
I could dig it. Listen, y'all, got my fourth boy coming.
It's a boy.
Oh, you ain't see it?
Nah.
Oh, snap. See, Nick don't be on social media like that.
I be deep in it. Nah, my basement's getting done. So you know how that goes.
Yeah, so we having a boy, fourth boy is coming. You know, so for those that the YouTube world, if you didn't see it, go to my Instagram and check it out. We are having our fourth child. We had our gender reveal party, which was super awesome. A lot of family, friends came out, celebrated and everything with us. But yeah, so it was good. So
yeah, that's why I can't fool with it, because you have four boys. I mess around, I have four girls.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Check this out, y'all. Check this out. So I got four boys, and between them two, you got a boy and a girl.
I got the two girls.
So how was it having a boy and a girl? Just you got the rich man's family.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. Get a little bit of both, you know. It's rough raising. Mm-hmm. You think it's rough raising a girl?
Yeah.
It's rough raising a boy.
Yeah, I got three of them right now.
Yeah. That's to put a little bit of pressure behind it, but you know, listen, when you raising them right, it makes it a lot easier. If I had, listen, I always told people, if I had a boy and a girl, or two boys or two girls,
yeah,
then that probably would have been it. So I'm blessed to have those children.
I could dig it. What about the two?
Two girls is a lot.
Listen, because you're the only man in the house. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I got to find my time. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm having the basement built.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I got to learn to go into the basement. Nah, okay. But they good. I mean, they good. They keep me on my toes. You know what I'm saying? I have a good time with them. So
That's what's up. Listen, everybody, listen, this episode right here is brought to you by the new book that is coming out this August 31st, which is Nobody's Coming to Save You, How to Lead Through a Storm. You can go ahead and pre-order right now on www.kennethallenthomas.com. Go ahead and get that. Listen, we're going to be talking about some storms. We're talking about some storms tonight. Tonight's topic, we are talking about the eye of the storm, gentlemen. The eye of the storm. Many people right now are going through a lot of stuff. You know, they're going through the depression, going through the anxiety. Last week we had Meg on here. We talked about the men's mental health and things of that nature. Nick, you missed that conversation, but I know that you chimed in. I know you wanted to get up in there.
Yes, sir.
But let's start here, right? Last week we talked about the men's side of things, right? I want to start it off and talk about the women's side of things. I know we don't have women here, but
we're
going to get a little bit in trouble. I know we don't have the women here, but here's where I want to go. I want to go here because from a male's perspective, right, in helping a woman through her anxiety or depression, you know what I'm saying?
That's good.
That's where I want to go. I'm not saying, because women, they got their own thing when it comes to that. But from a male's perspective, what are some things that on how we can help other men help their women in the relationships that they're going through?
That's good.
You know, I'll start off with Nick.
I mean, I think we got to make sure we pay attention to the same thing Meg was talking about before with guys, right? Don't try to be Mr. Fix-It.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's not asking for you to fix whatever's going on.
Right.
So don't focus on trying to be Mr. Fix-It. You know, instead, be Mr. Available.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Don't be Mr. Fix-It, because you can't fix somebody who's dealing with anxiety. Because the truth is, there's nothing really to fix as much as they just need help. They need support. They need confidence. So the question is, how do you get that? Right? And if you're going to try to provide that to them, which is what they're looking for, then you can't try to fix whatever's going on.
Okay.
The best thing that you can do is, are you available for them to talk about what's going on? Talk about how they're feeling. Express what's going on. Build a level of understanding. Don't try to tell them, well, if you change your perspective, well, if you, instead, take a minute and really just listen. Receive it. Really try to understand where they're coming from and then build from there.
I think
as men, that's what we can try to do. You know what I'm saying? Because honestly, that's the general, I won't say blueprint, but that's the general approach to anxiety anyway, right? So if that's what you're going to do, try to be understanding and open and listen and then go from there.
Do you think that men that do try to be Mr. Fix-It end up breaking it even more?
I mean, sometimes they could break it even more. Sometimes, honestly, they just miss it altogether. You know what I'm saying? Because then at that point, they may not break something, but she just may feel like you're not the one to talk to. Because before you can understand what it is I got going on, you're trying to fix it. You know, imagine if somebody comes in the house and they're just like, oh, I know exactly what's broken. I know where to go. They run upstairs and they don't realize that what's broken is outside in the backyard. You know what I'm saying? So before you try to fix it, take a minute to really make sure you understand all that she's dealing with.
Okay.
You know what? I needed this part of the conversation. You know why? Because I am the classic Mr. Fix-It. And I can tend to be pushy about it, right? When something is quote unquote broken, they may not even know what's broken. So how do I go, let me fix it if neither one of us know what's broken, right? Or hey, here, let's do this. It's really not the thing to do because you can not only break it, right? Not only harm her or the relationship, but you can harm yourself. You know what I mean? Because it, you can be in a position where you're trying so hard that you lose yourself in it. And so, yeah, I deal with that. And I'm really trying to learn myself so that I can learn her.
Let me tell you this. This is what I've done in my own personal relationship, you know, my marriage with Josie. Anytime she's felt the anxiety or the depression and stuff like that, 90% of the time, I'd probably say between 85 and 90% of the time, I'm silent and I'm only present. You know what I'm saying? I'm only present.
That's available. That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, okay, I don't know. It's all different types of reasons why you could be having some form of anxiety or depression issue. Right, it could be something with family, it could be something financial, it could be something that's within that neither one of us even know about, that which we just talked about, right? So what I've learned to do, instead of trying to be the coach, right, I've learned to just be the husband, right, and be present and be there, right? And there are times where maybe it'll come on right before we go to bed, and at that moment, okay, well, I may just do something as small as a back rub. You know what I mean? I may play some worship music. There's all different types of things that I know for a fact, because I know my wife, I know what will help break. You know, and a lot of times it's just allowing the Holy Spirit to just lead me in that direction to say, all right, what does she need right now? And I just wait on it and wait on it and wait on it until, you know, she says, you know what? I feel a lot better now. That's exactly what I needed. And I didn't have a conversation. But this is where it gets to the second part of this layer, where how well do you know your significant other, right?
And that's the problem. And that's the problem is, if you're not really sure on how to, like, really tap into who your significant other is, then exactly what you said, what you're trying to do is address things or fix it in a way that doesn't really speak to her, doesn't speak to what that person needs. You know what I'm saying? So when we talk about trying to figure out, all right, well, how do we help our women? How do we help our ladies? The biggest thing that we can do is take time to understand where they're coming from. Don't try to be them. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not a woman. You know what I'm saying? You're not a female. Like, you can't be her in that. But what you can do is build that level of understanding to say, you know what? I hear you. I see where it is that you're coming from. And what I'm going to do is, honestly, I'm going to dig deep into where you're coming from. Come on. Your point, right? Sometimes you don't need to have a conversation, but sometimes digging deep into where she's at emotionally, to the point where it's like, all right, there's nothing that I can say, but I can hold you, right? I can have you lay with me. We can chill, things like that. And it's just like doing that speaks more volumes than having all of these words and trying to say all these different things. And it's like, it ain't getting nowhere.
It ain't getting nowhere.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, you know what? And here's the other part to that is I seen something earlier on Instagram, and I commented on it, and it was a situation where a young lady was saying something about what they need from a man in order to, what you need something from me because I guess in terms of, I'm paraphrasing, you know, for a man that wants sex all the time, you know, a woman wants security, right? And what she was raving about was more on a materialistic standpoint, in my opinion, and it let me know that how far some women may be away from that aspect. And then the second part is, okay, it's not even necessarily the sex that a man wants, right, or needs, because that technically is the second thing, right? The first thing is really honor, right? Now, for a woman, in terms of our conversation, our topic right here, it's that security, right? A woman wants security first over everything. That doesn't mean just financially. That means, you know, emotionally, physically, spiritually, like all those different things. And I think that men, we have to understand that aspect of what security truly is. Because a woman can be financially secure, but emotionally broken, right? She could be, you know, spiritually there, but mentally not all the way there, right? There's all these different aspects. So how can we are not Superman. But this is where, as priests of our home, that we rely on God's strength to help us.
And his discernment, to give you the understanding of, okay, how do I help my woman in this situation? Mm. Because you got to be who she needs you to be. But honestly, even at a higher level, you got to be who God set you up to be for her. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what makes a particular man the perfect man for a particular woman. You know what I'm saying? Josie's not my wife. God didn't set me up for her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I cannot answer to Josie the way I can answer to Easton, because Easton is my wife. God set me up for her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so being who she needs me to be, I'm not going to be Kenny. I'm not going to do what Kenny does, nor do I need to. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I need to do what Nick needs to do for Easton. And that's the reality of it at times, and understanding that, hey, if you are with who God sets you to be with, then yeah, you start to respond, because guess what? He knows what it is that you need to be what she needs you to be. Mm. If you're not tapped into that, maybe the reason why sometimes it don't work, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it may not work. It may not work.
And we're in a relationship, not married, right? It puts me in a position to really have to be patient and take my time, have self-control, just show kindness and love to the whole situation. Because any circumstances that we're talking about is not just about tapping into them. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, I have to kind of tap into myself, right? Mm-hmm. And me having gone through or going through similar mental, I won't say anguish, but mental, things, just trying, I don't want to give off what I'm going through onto her, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I think that it's very, very important that I speak less and listen more.
Come on.
You know, like y'all were just saying, speak less and listen more.
Yeah.
And I think that's a major aspect in not just in a partner, but I think in myself.
Yeah, amen. I think that what we're developing right here, for any men that's watching this or any women that's watching this, what we're developing here seems like a firm foundation, right, to growth, to overcoming the depression, to overcoming the anxiety. There are many different ways I feel that you can overcome that. One of those ways is definitely learning how to take care of yourself, right? And that's very, very important. And, you know, I speak at a lot of different, you know, companies and stuff like that. And the one thing, y'all, that I get all the time, I do this evaluation with them. It's called the well-being tracker. And every time I do the well-being tracker, 85% of the room puts self at number four.
Right.
Number three or number four, they put self. They'll rank them. So we'll do self, we'll do spouse, kids, family, and work, right? most people put self at number three and number four. And then you wonder why there is a lot of anxiety and there is a lot of depression, because what are you doing for you? Right now, that does not mean go out and buy Gucci bags and go out and buy Ferraris and stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Because people will sit there and take that and be like, yeah, okay, do something for myself. Got it. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go buy, some expensive wear, and that's going to make me feel good because I've never done it before. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, how can you be poured into so you can pour into others, right?
But you got to know, I think what you were talking about earlier, God, is that aspect of how much do I know myself, mm-hmm. Because if you don't know yourself, then you're not really looking at the kind of things that really need to be poured into you, mm-hmm. So very similarly, how we were just talking about, how do you take care of your woman? The question is, how do you take care of yourself? Mm-hmm. Are you that individual that needs to go for a run? Mm-hmm. Do you need to go to the gym? Do you need music? You know what I'm saying? What are the things that help you, And again, the things that help you.
Well, what are the things that help you?
Me is going to the gym.
Okay.
I got like maybe five layers.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So layer one for me is definitely going to the gym.
Okay.
Like if I can get physical exertion, energy and stuff like that and get that out of my system, that does a wonder for me.
So out of the entire week, how many times are you hitting the gym?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm not. So okay. I already know that I'm depleted. Mm. But knowing that, I then have other ones. So like I said, my layers, right? So I know that taking time out with my family mm-hmm. also pours into me.
Okay.
So while I can't go to the gym for different reasons that I got going on right now, I take time with the family. Like, listen, 4:30, what we doing? Everybody, let's go get ice cream.
Ice cream.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Let's go to the park. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. let's go watch a movie. And we have those different layers there that
right.
are in there, right?
Right.
Then what also pours into me, honestly, is taking time out with my wife. Like, she's my bestie. Like, yeah. she's my homie. So going out and just chilling with her mm-hmm. and having a good time. Listen, like one of my friends, we joke around, right? They like, oh, where y'all going to y'all next day? We like, we're going to ShopRite.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we can spend a solid hour and a half together
yeah.
at ShopRite.
At ShopRite.
And we good. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Because we don't have the luxury of, oh, we about to leave the kids home and go here. We don't have that luxury. So we find the time that we can with each other together.
Right.
And I think people miss that when they don't pay attention to what really is it that pours into you. Mm. Instead, you look at how much you can pour out into other people and you miss it. Because when you're pouring so much out, what are you then getting back mm-hmm. and paying attention to? What do you really value? Because a materialistic thing sometimes becomes the things that people can't afford. And mm-hmm. sometimes the things that you think pour into you, they don't really pour into you. They're just masking things, right?
Yeah.
And again, it may be material things. It may be, retail therapy. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Retail therapy is real. It's not. You know what I'm saying? But can you sustain that? And if you can't, then you need to find different levels of things that can pour into you that you can sustain. Because listen, I know my wife loves retail therapy, but I know that I can't afford it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I have talked to her about different things that can help pour into her, but then I also make time for retail therapy as well. Mm. So that's also that aspect of, because there are layers, trying to apply each layer, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, to the point that you were making, it could just be a deficit really in just one area. Mm. All the other areas could be going very well, but that deficit in that one area could have an impact.
That's right. What about you? What pours into you?
I think what's advantageous, even in my relationship, right, with my girl, what pours into me, pours into us. We love going to the beach, right? And so going to the beach is like, that's big, right? Because it's relaxing. It's not just relaxing, it's time together. And then I go to the gym as well. I try to deal with the youth and coaching as much as I can. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's a major deal for me, like figuring out what pours into us.
What about something that's like, so for Nick, got something that's strictly for him, which mm-hmm. is the gym, mm-hmm. right? His baby's not going to the gym all the time with him. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? But for you, what is that single thing like that you do?
Yeah. Football practice is definitely that thing.
Okay.
Like, I can't wait until I get with some guys mm-hmm. and just work out.
Yeah.
And it's for, an ultimate purpose. Mm. You know what I mean? So something that pours into to my purpose is really big.
Yeah.
Coaching is big.
Yeah. I think for me, and to answer that question as well, it's waking up, pretty early, just because we got so many kids, and just having that quiet time, right? Like, I'm a like critical thinker sometimes, y'all, and it's just like, I like to be at peace And that's like a lot of times where I'm at my best. And even in the process of, you know, writing this book and seeing the storms that are surrounding me, right? It's like, okay, I need this time at 5:30 to just sit back, throw in some worship and pray. I need that. When I was 17, I was throwing on Jay-Z. Now that I'm 38, I'm throwing on worship, or I'm throwing on nothing at all, or I'm throwing on some house, or I'm throwing on something that is soothing to my mind and my spirit, mainly because I feel a responsibility to so many people, especially like with my family, right? So it's my family. And then like the outpour of love that we get online, you see a lot of people, they're like, listen, I needed this. I needed that 35 second clip of you saying X, Y, and Z.
But is that you setting yourself up to be what you need to be for other people? Or is that you taking time just for you?
That's taking time just for me, but it ends up pouring into other people. You know what I'm saying? So me taking my time, throwing on my worship, being at peace, meditating, praying, and all that stuff, you know, ends up going into being with, you know, and helping other people. I'll give you an example. Last week, I was at ShopRite. I was at ShopRite, and I go and I see my homie Mike that I haven't seen in like a couple years. And I go and I say what's up to him, catch up with him for a second. And literally at that moment, it was like pouring to this man. Yo, how's everything going? Like, you good? Like, is, you know, scale of 1 to 10. He's a scale of 1 to 10. He's like, psh, I'm like a 5.5. I was like, oh, snap. Like, he keeping it real. Most people be like, oh, I'm at a 9. No, you're not. Stop lying. So I start pouring into the man because I'm like, you know, what exactly do you need right now? I did the evaluation with him. And he was like, dude, you don't understand exactly what I needed right now. He said, 2 months ago, I almost died. He said, I almost died 2 months ago. I needed this conversation. And had I not got poured into, how would I be able to pour out? Because the man almost died of sepsis disease and everything. And I believe it was sepsis. And in 2 cases of pneumonia. And he's got a son as well, too. So it's like, you never know when you're going to actually need to pour into somebody. But how can you pour into other people if you're not going to the gym for you, right? How can you pour into other people if you're not in football practice, you know what I'm saying, doing your thing or going to the beach? My point here, audience, is saying you've got to find the area of your life that is solely for you, right? Leaders out there, you know, husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, uncles, aunties, you know, whoever you are, you got to find that sweet spot where it's for you. Because the reality is when you put yourself lower on the totem pole, right, if God forbid something happens to you, who's going to catch you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you can't then be there for everybody else like you say you want to be. I mean, I think the hardest part that people deal with that is this idea of, well, if I take that time for myself, I'm being selfish. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I try to encourage people when we do marriage counseling and things like that. Like, listen, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you saying, I need this moment. I need this time.
Right.
I need this minute. You know, like I tell my girls, yeah, listen, y'all want mom and dad? We got y'all. But when mom and dad say time out, y'all need to chill.
Yeah.
Like they understand it. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like, oh, well,
cut the corner.
Right now, we need to chill. You know what I'm saying? And that's not to say that, you know, if they really, really need something, we're not going to do it. But it's also building that time without presenting it like, oh, I'm being selfish. Because I hear a lot of parents say that, oh, that's selfish if we do that. You know what I'm saying? Because then what are the kids are going to do? Well, part of that is you got to train them how to be independent and on their own time so that you can have that time.
Right.
But if you don't do it, because they constantly need something. I mean, right. They're kids, you know what I'm saying?
But if you and Easton don't put y'all time in, right, and it's all about the kids first and stuff like that, where does that leave y'all when they turn 18, 20,
and that's
21?
The problem, because that's what happens is when people become empty nesters, now all of a sudden it's like they don't really know how to really interact with each other because they hadn't been doing it.
Yeah.
All they were doing was just like, well, what's the next thing that the kids need? What's the next? I mean, you know how it is, right? Baseball,
yep.
You know, school. Listen, doing it all the time.
All the time.
The same token, there's also time where it's just like, yo, nah, you know what I'm saying? We got to chill so that we can have that time with each other. And I think my point really is just don't receive it as being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Receive it as valuable time that's necessary
that's right.
for you to be able to be a better parent, better husband, better father, better mother, better sister, better brother. Mm-hmm. But if you don't take that time for yourself, it's almost just like you expend so much that by the time people really need you in certain circumstances, you can't do it because you're worn out.
Yeah.
The question that you ask it, you work yourself to the bone to the point where you tired. Now people are just like, oh, I really need you. And then guess what? You feel even worse. Now you wonder why you have depression.
Yep.
You wonder why you have anxiety because you did so much to pour out.
So much.
Now people really need you and you just feel like you're letting them down. You feel like you're disappointing them. And then again, it becomes that cycle. It's always about other people. Where right. are you at?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that that's important. I think that not only... I just had this conversation, right? Me and my girl talking. She goes, time apart is just as important as time together, right? But we have to remember what y'all saying. Be intentional. Be intentional with that time apart, right? Do those things that help you be a better you so that then you can be better for everyone else, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to shift it a little bit here. When we talk about the storms, these are all storms, by the way, guys. These are all storms. And I want to help the audience find success in the storm, right? And for example, you've got people that work at some of the top tier places in the world, or even on maybe they work at ShopRite, maybe they work for JP Morgan, maybe they work for TD Bank, whatever it is that they work for, whoever, and they could be making good money, but then they go home, right, and the storm is hitting. And how do they get better to do their job professionally so that they can actually keep their home, right? And I think, you know, I was telling a group the other day that I think we have to focus more so on being calm within the storm that's around you, right? And how do we do that? We gotta locate the eye of the storm. For those that don't know, the eye of the storm is the calmest part of a hurricane. So if you look in the storm, you'll see on the map that there's winds, there's rain, there's a storm that's happening, twirling around. But inside that, in the middle, there's an eye. And at that point is where we have to focus. And here's a better example. Let's take Jesus, for example, right? Jesus was sleeping on the boat with the disciples, and they was tripping. They was like, hey, yo, like, don't you care? Like, how many people really feel like, you know, God is not there, you know, when you're going through your whole storm? And in reality, he's in the eye of the storm, in the middle, just chilling and being calm. And Jesus gets up and he tells the winds to calm down. Even the winds understand his command to just relax. And the disciples, they were saying like, wow, even the winds, you know, respect him, right? So the question becomes, where's your faith, right?
Yeah.
Where's your faith? How do you inside this storm that you're in, inside this whole hurricane that's around you, right? There's all this chaos. I truly believe that God is on some, like, listen, although there's chaos around you, there's not chaos in you, right? I'm gonna say that again. Although there's chaos around you, there's no chaos that's in you. So if we locate the eye of the storm, we locate that calmness, that part, we can then, you know, overcome whatever storm is, you know, coming our way.
I mean, I think, you know, the Bible talks about peace that passes all understanding.
Mm.
And I think that's the key to it, is understanding that what you need in the moment is peace, right? When everything is going on, I mean, if you think about it, the kind of things that we see in the world, you know, world star nonsense, right? What is that about?
They just got me on that too.
It's just all because somebody did something, and rather than the other person being calm, they decided, you went wild, I'm going to go wilder. You know what I'm saying? You got upset, I'm going to get upset, you know what I'm saying?
And it's just adding, like, to the storm.
Yo, just calm down. You know what I'm saying? Because what you'll notice is there's also those instances where people are trying to antagonize an individual, and that person just sits there and they just like, I'm just gonna keep calm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna chill, right? And those individuals that are the antagonists at times are almost just like, I'm not getting what it is that I want out of this person, right? And so sometimes they don't know what to do. So you'll realize that in a situation, if you are the calmest person during a storm, people then start looking at you and they start wondering, how can you be this calm?
How can you be this calm
with all this stuff that's going on?
Yeah.
And part of that is showing them that, guess what? What I'm trying to do is what the Bible says. In all thy getting, get understanding.
Mm.
Understand what's going on around you. Yeah, there's a storm. And what we have to realize is, in certain instances, we can do certain things in those storms, and other times we can't, right? If there's a flood, if you know how to swim, Great. God bless you. How far and how long are you going to swim?
That's right.
Right? So rather than panicking, figure out, okay, what is it that I need to do? Because if a flood is coming, a flood is coming. You can't stop the flood.
Right.
Right? So figure out what it is that you need to do. But the way to do that is to stay calm in what's happening rather than, oh my goodness, there's a flood coming and you start panicking and start losing and everything. Calm down. You know what I'm saying? And I think when people get to that point where they say, all right, this is happening. Mm-hmm. Like, this is real. This is happening right now. Let me chill.
Yeah.
Let me be patient. Let me, guess what? You get a level of clarity and focus that so many people don't understand, to the point where when you figure out how to navigate out of the storm, people then look at you like, well, how'd you figure that out?
Come on now. Like, right.
I was taking the time to pay attention to everything that was going on rather than figuring out how I can immediately react.
Awareness, yo. The awareness is what we're talking about. Like, are you aware of what's going on around you, right? So that you can keep calm,
right?
I mean, think about it. We've all been in storms in life. We all have. And you either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're going into a storm. You know what I'm saying? One of the three is happening. All right, I'm going to say that again for y'all. We either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're going into a storm. And I think that, you know, once, like Nick is saying, once we develop that, learning that peace, learning that calmness, that's why it's so important to make sure that you're being poured into, right? Because if you're being poured into, you're going to have this calmness. I'm going to let you go in a second, God, but I want to say this real quick for them. Listen, you got to think of yourself as one of those chandeliers at a wedding, right? Or the pyramids, the glass pyramids that are at a wedding, right? You got to think of yourself as the top glass. Right. When you think of yourself as a top glass, and you got glass under glass under glass under glass under glass, you got to understand that at the top glass, there's something that's being poured into. Right. I want you to imagine that God is the one that's pouring in the drink. Right. Whatever the drink is, it could be water, it could be champagne, whatever it is that's flowing through. Right. That's being poured into. And then that thing is going to overflow. And as it's overflowing, that's you get overflowing into other people, right? Mm-hmm. Because you made yourself the top shelf, you know, the top glass on the pyramid. Because, and we're all top glasses in life. And we're all under at some point as well, too, right? But what we have to understand for our own personal life is that, listen, I got to make sure that I am, you know, putting myself, you know, at the top. Now, again, to Nick's point, not being selfish, but valuing who you are and learning who God truly created you to be, because he's going to keep pouring. Mm-hmm. And as he keeps pouring, as you walk throughout life, you're going to be able to pour into others, just like I did the gentleman and everything at ShopRite.
Yeah, I think what y'all are saying is fantastic. Well, a lot of what we talk about in our conversations together and on here, right, being proactive instead of reactive, right? When we're saying find that joy, find that peace in yourself, find that one thing that fills you up, right? That's being proactive before the storm comes and not being reactive when it comes, right? And so something I talk about a lot on here, and I talk about with friends of mine, it's important also who you surround yourself with, right?
Come on.
Because you talk about you talk about getting poured into, right?
So yep.
I want whoever's pouring into me to be pouring in that right sauce, that right water, you know what I mean? And so surrounding who you surround yourself is very important, because even when those storms come, there are people that you surround yourself with that can remind you of that joy and of that peace that you worked so hard to achieve.
Absolutely. So I think that, you know, to add to it, right, when we talk about the Marthas of the world, the Andreas of the world, the Jonathans of the world that, you know, that are going to work and then they come home and they got all this chaos. I think what's important for them to grab right now is just that word, peace, right? That peace, that self-discipline aspect, that committing to yourself. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that I think a lot of people don't do. They don't commit enough to themselves. They commit to everybody else but them, right? So the question becomes, when are you going to commit to you? When are you going to say, you know what, I'm going to go after what it is that I know that God called me to do. I'm going to go after the things that I'm supposed to be doing. I will get to you, but at first I got to get to myself, right? Like, how many times do you run into people, maybe at your job, like how many people just don't commit to themselves and does it affect their work life? Does it affect who they are as a person? I don't know.
No, I mean, I think you're right. You know, we see that people struggle with that idea of commitment. Right?
Yeah.
So you talk about that aspect of, all right, so what is it for you?
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up, what about today is going to be about
you?
Come
on, that's it.
You know what I mean? Like, yes, you got to do what your boss needs you to do. Yes, you got to do what your wife or your husband needs you to do. You got to do what the kids need you to do. But at what point are you taking care of you? And again, whatever it is that you're doing, right? The idea here and the theme is what's being poured into you and how do you receive it?
Mm.
Because that's where the problem comes in, right? Is, again, people feel like, oh, well, you know, I get my time in the morning when I go get my coffee. That's like 10 minutes. That ain't enough.
Right.
That's not it.
Right, stop, you know, lying.
Like, I got like, coffee, and that's, yeah, like, nah, like, listen. Yes, I work from home, and I'm sure everybody who works from home knows and understands. You probably work more now working from home,
absolutely,
than you did when you was going into whatever, yes, job office or whatever the case is. But at the same token, I will get up and take my half hour and go walk around.
Mm.
And no, I'm not getting on the phone to try to figure out this bill, that bill. No, I'm going outside to walk, and I'm either walking and just enjoying the fresh air. I'm walking, I'm listening to a podcast, I'm listening to music, whatever that is, that's for me, right? Because part of it is, from a health perspective, that's for me,
yeah,
as well as with regard to me being able to listen and get something poured into, right?
Mm.
That's okay, you know? And for a while, I was like, I can't take that 30 minutes. I got too much to do for work. But then I'm like, well, wait a minute. If I don't, what really matters? Work is all right, but work don't matter.
Yeah.
My family matters.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't take care of myself from a health perspective, I'm not going to be here for my family.
Mm.
So then all of this, I got to be here for my wife. I got to be for my kids. I got to do that. I'm not going to be able to do any of it if I'm not here. So guess what? I got to take that time for myself.
Mm.
I got to go to the gym. I got to exercise. I got to
take
care of me. I have to do it. And when I do that, I can then take care of you and help you out and I can do all of that.
Right. But here's the problem, right? And that's all good. But here's the problem that we run into. I think so many people hear that a lot, but then they just become, again, they're not committed enough because they become inconsistent, right? Now, here's where I'm going to help y'all. This is where you have to have someone hold you down and being an accountability partner. Those times where you feel off, those times where you start falling off and you, like, you're not getting into your groove.
Yep.
You haven't been to the gym in how long, Nick? You know what I'm saying? Why don't you call me and let me know, bro? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, hey, yo, Nick, what's up?
Right.
You know what I mean? You have to get there.
Yeah.
I ain't got no time. Make time. You know what I'm saying? You got to learn how to make the time. And I think that, you know, the one thing, like, for me and Josie, our thing is we want to commit to going out every single week.
Okay.
Every Sunday is our thing,
yep,
right? To go out.
Yep.
The hard part about that is finding the babysitters and everything for our children. You know what I'm saying? That's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we can't find somebody, all right, what are we gonna do? Maybe we'll hit a movie up and everything on Amazon or something like that, and we'll rock that out. Mm-hmm. Or we'll just go, like what Nick said. We're gonna go ahead and go to the ice cream shop. But don't be inconsistent in pouring in what is for you. Like, I cannot stress that enough, because you see it so many times where people will get online and they pour their heart out. You pour your heart out on Facebook, but you won't pour your heart out to your neighbor. How does that even make sense? You know what I'm saying? You're going to pour your heart out to people who are not going to really give you necessarily the best advice all the time, right? But and on Instagram, and you giving it there. But how about going in person and giving it to somebody in person that can really pour into you, and not just reading someone's comment necessarily? I'm not saying that doesn't work. It does work. But what I'm saying is there's you're limited sometimes in when it comes to Facebook. And sometimes, to everybody else's defense, it could be that is my last resort. I don't have anybody else to talk to, right? I don't, like, I really don't. I can't trust anybody else. And maybe somebody's out there in the internet land that can give me what I need.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's there as well, too. But my first suggestion would be to try to find that neighbor, try and find that person. And if not, then, hey, maybe you have to go to the internet for that.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying? So I want to transition, guys, into the leadership aspect as we, you know, end off the show and everything. But I want to go into the leadership aspect of things, because there are leadership storms as well, too. Right? There's some leadership storms. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And Nick laughing because he know I'm not lying. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are a lot of leadership storms that we run into. And I was showing this to Matt, our cameraman Matt, and everything. I was showing this to Matt a couple weeks ago. There are two types of leaders, right, that are going to C-level, right? They're going to high-level execs, right? So I want you guys, I'm going to give it to you guys. I want you guys to see which leader are you, okay? So you have the get-it-done leader, mm-hmm. right? And then you have the more charismatic leader, okay? So you got the get-it-done, and you got the leader that is more, you know, charismatic, that the one that everybody loves, right? That leader, everybody loves that guy. You know what I'm saying? That dude is there for everybody. Matter of fact, he's so smart that he hires other people, right, to do certain things that he's not capable of doing, right? So he'll hire outside of his expertise to get the job done, and he'll delegate responsibility to other people, right? Now, the get-it-done leader is cutthroat. He that dude. You know what I'm saying? He's that dude, like, no, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to knock it out my way. We're going to follow my lead, and that's that. Like, and has no real compassion for anybody. Right, he is straight, like, that's it. Now, both of these guys get to the next level in high level, is like C level, right? They were both on mid-level, low-level management. And they both get to now the higher up. Now, the question becomes where responsibilities change when you get to the C level, right? What got you here won't get you there, right? That's really what's happening right now, right? Mm-hmm. So before I continue, right? Which one do you think you are most? Do you think you are more get it done, or are you more charismatic?
I think I'm more charismatic. Okay. But I can say this. Mm-hmm. I have my get it done moments.
Okay.
I have my get it done moments, but I'm more charismatic.
Charismatic? Than
anything else.
Nick?
Get it done.
Get it done. No nonsense.
I'm the get it done dude. Like, listen, even with my basement, I was like, I could do this.
Yeah. You
know
what I'm saying?
I was like, yo, stop. Like, stop. I was like, nah. I was like, what we looking for, you can't do this, bro. Like,
right,
you know what I'm
right.
saying? But I'm definitely the, listen, you know, whatever they did with DIY,
right.
that's like a problem because I'll look up everything.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I ain't
yeah.
got to talk to nobody. I can just get it done. I want to and be done with it.
Right. Okay, now my question is, are you willing, right? Now, let's say you go into the major leagues and everything, right? And you got there throwing as a righty. But they need you to learn how to throw lefty. Are you willing to do it?
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, here's the thing. To the point that you're making,
right?
The way that I see it is you may need to be either one to mm-hmm. get the C level.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get the C level, mm-hmm. you have to be the charismatic
Gotta
person.
Be.
Because at the end of the day, at the C level, you're not at the C level to do everything.
Right.
You're at the C level to see what needs to be done and make sure you can actually motivate other people to do it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to get it all done, you ain't going to stay at the C level mm-hmm. long because it's too much to get done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's right. different when you're managing a group and or a department versus an organization.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you're managing an organization, you can't do it all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you're managing a group, yeah, you're managing 5-10 people, one person's out, you could do it.
Right.
When you manage a company of 100, you can't do it if 20 people out.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta figure out how to get other people to get it done.
But check this out. Now check this out, right? Check this out. In the article that I read on this story, okay, the get it done leader, right, actually wanted to throw lefty. What got him there was throwing righty. But what kept him there was throwing lefty. Why? Because he said, you know, they said, listen, we love your get it done attitude. We love the fact that you're awesome. But to Nick's point, you got to learn how to be a little charismatic.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to be
for sure.
Because we need you to understand and have empathy for some people in here. You know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily learning how to be vulnerable, but empathize, you know, with other people. Now, the charismatic leader, guess what, y'all? This cat ended up going back down to mid-level. Mm. He ended up going back down to mid-level because he was not willing to get it done.
Mm.
He was not willing to make the rough decisions, the hard decisions,
right,
decisions that needed to be made when the company is on the line in order to take us to the next level. You're not willing to make those decisions? Yo, he said, listen, I'm going to go back down to mid-level because that's where my strength is.
Mm.
Mm. But that's what's so important. Sometimes the strength that you have or whatever, right, in between that, there's a weakness. Right, there's a weakness, and Pastor talked about this yesterday. There's something that's from the head, you know, to the arm is strong. You know what I'm saying? But in between that, there's a weak part, which is the neck. know what I'm saying? There's something that has to connect in between. So we got to understand that the charismatic one, like if you're so charismatic, you may not be willing to be the cutthroat person. Mm-hmm. You may not be willing to be that dude. That's why the get it done leader oftentimes is the one to say, you know what? I'm going to learn how to have empathy. I'm going to learn how to, you know, be a little bit more charismatic because there may be some things that I don't know that I'm going to have to delegate for. Right. You know what I'm saying? So what do we say to people that are, you know, looking to get to that next level?
Be able to adapt. Mm. Be able to adapt. Like I said, I have I'm charismatic, but I have my get it done moments, right? There are decisions that need to be made, and when they need to be made, if I'm the one that has to make them, then that's just what it is, right? Mm. Charismatic is that empathetic part that you talked about earlier, mm-hmm. right? Understanding that everybody can't do what we do. Mm-hmm. And we maybe can't do what everyone else does, right? Like you said, to your point of that weak part, right? There's a weak part and I can't, you know, our body, you know, we're one body, right? Mm-hmm. And I can't work without the foot can't work without the arm, so forth and so on.
Right.
So that's important to have a balance and be able to adapt and know when to choose which one
to be.
Here's something else I throw out.
Go ahead.
Because of what you said. Mm-hmm. I know people don't see it this way, but the charismatic leader also understood where he or she belongs.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on.
And sometimes we don't pay attention to that. Not where you belong as in somebody has put you in a box.
Right.
But where you belong as in, guess what? This is where I thrive the most.
Right.
I could be in that C-level position, but that C-level position is now asking me to do something that honestly is not within my nature, my character, etc. So I may not be that person that adapts to all these different things. But this one thing that I do,
I do it well. Yes.
And so since I do that thing well, I'm going to stick with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be honest with ourselves to know that.
Yeah.
I like cooking, right? But I have not mastered yet making Asian food. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it. You know what I'm saying? I love Chinese food. I can't make it.
Mm.
So I'm not going to keep telling myself I can make it. Instead, I'm like, babes, let's go to P.F. Chang's. Let's go hook it up. Let's work it out. You know what I'm saying? Now, you want some lasagna? I got you. I can do that. You want some African food? I got you. I can do that.
Oh, how about that pot pie your wife still owe me, yo?
You
know what I'm saying? I've been after this pot pie for like...
You got to wait for the baby.
Listen,
we got you.
I've been after this pot pie for 4 years.
When the baby come, we got you. When the baby come, we got you. We got you.
You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand, yo. I've been made this request since Christian was in the hospital. I've been waiting for this pot pie, man. I had
it. The new baby, man. It's only when the baby comes out. Only when the baby comes out.
Come on, man.
I think he went live on two or three of those requests, too. Like,
fan.
That's on.
He's trying to put me out
that's
there.
That's on tape.
He's trying to put me out there.
That's on tape.
You know what I'm saying?
But let me bring this all together, too. Leaders have to know when to lead, but they also have to know when to follow, right? I don't necessarily say I would need to take my strength to a lower level and just get comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say... At my level, you have to know, leaders have to know how to lead, but they also have to know what their strengths are so that they can then follow those around them. You know what you said, accountability partners.
Accountability partners, y'all. You got to have an accountability partner. If you don't, listen, that's why I have Coach Meg.
Yeah.
Hold me accountable.
She dope, right? Too.
You know what I mean? You got to hold me accountable. That's why there are people even on our team that we have that you guys probably won't see or whatever necessarily, but in the background that will help us and hold us accountable. You know what I'm saying? I'm always holding Guy accountable. You know what I'm saying? Like Guy hit me up and he'll say something or whatever. I'll be like, word, that's what's up, Guy. But you ever look at it like this, you know what I'm saying? And Nick would do it to me, you know what I'm saying? You need a counterpart that's going to help you look at it from a totally different perspective.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? You don't need people that are going to agree with every single thing that you say. Mm-hmm. Because you could sound totally bogus, but to you, you sound like you're a saint. Mm-hmm. But in reality, you know you're tripping, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So sometimes we have to be humble enough.
Right.
To receive that on the opposite end. And that's part of being a leader as well, too. To your point, we lead, but we also got to learn how to follow.
Yeah, I think being willing to discuss it, right? So I can, the way I'm thinking, I'm in good shape. The way I'm thinking, I'm not the one wrong. But when you do then discuss it with somebody and you listen to yourself, you're like,
right.
I'm not wrong. I'm kind of wrong right here.
And you know, I was tripping.
It does take an accountability partner, but not just for feedback, but also just like y'all said earlier, to y'all point, to listen, right? Mm. Because if I'm talking and y'all are listening, and y'all not saying nothing, I'm listening to myself, I'm like, I was wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was wrong here. So that's all important to.
But you know what, yo? Like, some people have a hard time with doing just that. Mm. You know what? My bad.
Accepting the fact
that, you know, I'm in the wrong in this position. I got to fix this. Mm-hmm. I have to fix this about me, you know? And some people will think that just because the intent wasn't necessarily there, you know what I mean? Just because you didn't intend to do it, but the action behind of what happened.
Yes.
And then you still don't, like, see it from the opposite end or want to accept that. It's like you're still like not accepting the fact that you're still wrong.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's a big problem that people have to take hold of. Like, okay, you know, I don't know it all. Mm-hmm. I may not be right all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. You know?
What?
Like, what you mean?
Everybody's
like,
always right.
We're always right.
Nah, that's. I think that when we talk about these things like the eye of the storm, you know what I'm saying, the difficulties that you face, I think it's about awareness, right? And if you're aware about what's going on around you, you can then pay attention to what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I'm gonna take one of Kenny's things. I'm gonna say that you gotta pay attention to what's going on around you by being aware of what's going on around you. You know what I'm saying? If you're not doing that, then you're missing the mark. Why? Because you have things that are happening, and all you're choosing to do is react rather than respond.
Mm.
You know, that's why they call it a knee-jerk reaction. You know, because what you're doing is you're reacting, you're not responding.
Mm-hmm.
Take your time. Mm-hmm. Pay attention. Respond. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Like you said, I'm out here talking. Am I aware of what it is that I'm saying?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Am I even aware, or am I just flapping at the gums, say what I got to say, you know, all of that. And it's just like, where do you go?
Mm.
Where does that necessarily take you? Where does that leave you?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know what? Nah, I'm thinking about this, right?
Yeah.
I'm paying attention to what I'm saying. I'm realizing I'm an energetic person when I talk.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm in your face. Y'all know I'm in your face kind of person when we talk. You know what I'm saying? And I realize that sometimes I can come across very aggressive. Mm-hmm. So in situations where it comes across aggressive, I'm like, let me take a step back.
Mm.
Process.
I'm saying, let me, wait a minute. I realize I'm trying to get something across to people, but I also realize that it can come across very abrasive.
Yeah.
So in the middle of it, I'll kind of be like, all right, hold up.
Because that's not your intent.
Correct.
Right.
Right. So now it's like, because of my awareness, now I'm like, all right, this is what I'm really trying to say. Let me make sure this comes across correctly, rather than I'm just flapping off and just saying this. Because when you're not paying attention to it and all you're doing is just reacting, by the time you're done, the whole thing that you were talking about, you don't even realize that, you know what, I'm completely out of pocket here.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But if you're paying attention, you can kind of say, wait a minute, I'm starting to go left here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And when you talk about interactions and relationships and dealing with people, those are the things that you got to pay attention to. It's like, yo, at what point am I starting to get out of bounds?
Amen.
You know, with my actions, with my interaction, with my communication, with my discussion. Because guess what? If you're not paying attention to that, you can be the cause of a storm.
Mm. Right?
You know, then you're not in the eye of the storm. You are the storm.
You're the
problem.
Wow.
And then you want to look around and blame everybody else. Because guess what? You going around like this, and you're causing so much turmoil, but you're looking at everybody else and saying, y'all are the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. That's so good. Mm-hmm. And I want to leave it there. I want to leave it right there.
I just got one more thing to say. You know, we talk about, because these are some things we go through in storms, right? You were talking about how we blame everybody else. Well, sometimes I have an issue where I blame myself, right? Heavy. Like, I'm hard on myself in taking the blame. I take the blame when it ain't my fault. And those types of things really weigh heavily on me, because when you realize that you are the storm, right, you have to find your way not only out of it, but you have to find others that you've affected and find their way out of it as well. So I take heavy blame and accountability for my own actions, but I'm fairly hard on myself. And I just want to learn myself to the point where, you know, it just doesn't get to that level. You know what I mean? Right. So, like I said, being a listener more than a speaker.
Let me extend it there, and then we're going to end it here. You being hard on yourself is sometimes can be considered a little bit too humble. And what I mean by that is there's nothing wrong with being humble. But sometimes you got to look at it from the standpoint of you're not a perfectionist. You know, you're not, you know, perfect yet. You're being formed to be perfect, right? We are not necessarily complete, so it's okay, right? We're not complete until God says he's going to make us complete, as he says in his word. I'm going to make you perfect. And when we get to that next level, you know, we will have our perfect body and we'll be perfect. You know, the body that we are called to have, right? So you got to understand, and for the listeners out here as well, too, that are hard on yourselves, don't be, okay? Don't be so hard on yourself. It's okay to mess up. It's okay to make those mistakes. But here's the kicker is when you realize I made this mistake, I got to fix this part. I got to correct this part and not go back to that thing, right? I got to repent on that thing and not go back to it. You know, I got to move away from that thing. I oftentimes say sometimes you got to remove yourself to improve yourself, right? So sometimes you got to remove yourself from certain situations to improve yourself and elevate yourself in life. And oftentimes, you if you're too hard on yourself, how can you remove anything, right, to improve and be better moving forward? So for those that are out there right now that need, you know, any type of inspiration, I'm encouraging you and charging you to, number one, again, don't be hard on yourself. Number two, make that commitment to yourself, okay? And number three, have that self-discipline for yourself. Learn how to put yourself under submission and not be tempted, right, to have to do everything for everybody all the time, where that can be harming yourself as well too, right? Not being tempted to do the things in the ways of the world and things that everybody else does to please everybody, to make yourself seem someone that you really don't want to be. I had to learn this aspect about me, and as I learned who I am, I don't want to go to the club anymore. I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to smoke anymore. You know what I'm saying? I don't. I find myself deleting or unfollowing certain pages, you know, as they come up on my feed that I'm not attracted to anymore. And I find myself removing myself from that. Like, it's too much to go through every single thing or whatever. But when it pops up, you know, what I had on like an old Instagram feed and stuff like that, like when before I converted myself and changed, when we changed the mind, yo, we changed the game, you know what I'm saying? When we started changing that mindset, I said, you know what? I'm not gonna be hard on myself, but I am gonna correct myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna be hard on myself because I'm not perfect yet. And I'm moving towards perfection, which what perfect really is, y'all, is maturity, right? Perfection equals maturity. Perfection equals completion. So are you growing and are you being complete and learning to be complete in who you are? Is that thing that you're doing of old complete? Like, that's not who you are anymore. That's completed. I'm done with that. I'm in this new phase. I'm in my maturity phase. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, everybody, listen, man, listen, go ahead, like, comment, subscribe, share this with your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your auntie, your grandma, your grandpa, abuela, abuelo. Share with everybody who needs to hear this right now. See this podcast wherever you are watching, on YouTube, Spotify, Google, all that good stuff. We are everywhere, okay? Now listen, real quick, again, this episode is brought to you by my new book that's coming out, Nobody is Coming to Save You. And for those Christians out there that be coming, what you mean Jesus is coming back to save us? I know Jesus is coming back, okay? Just listen, y'all, listen, okay? No, they was chewing me up, yo. They was chewing me up. They was like, yo, what you mean? Like, you know, nobody coming to save. Like, the Christians came out. It was like, listen, okay, listen, y'all, okay? Here's what I mean. When I say nobody's coming to save you, I'm saying that you got to do the work. No physical being is coming to save you. Nobody is coming to walk your walk, right? Nobody is coming to talk your talk. You got to do the work at the end of the day. That's why on the cover of the book, I separated the no in the body. It's no dash body is coming to save you, meaning a physical being No, Nick is not coming over here to be, you know, my the family man and all of this stuff. He's not going to run my house for me. He's not going to live my life for me. But people struggle with that. People are looking for that type of a savior in a sense. And I want to help people because you're going through a particular storm, and I want to help you lead you through that storm. So you can go online to www.kennethallenthomas.com. The link will be in the description below. Go ahead and pre-order. It is dropping August 31st, 2022. It's going down. If you are in the Jersey area, okay, there's something special happening for you guys, all right, which we will be announcing. You know, I'm going to just say it right now. I'm throwing a book release party. So book release party is going to be going down. So when you order, you'll get the date. I'm not going to put the date out yet because people are going to try and show up and be like, yo, I ordered a book. No, you did not order a book. If you ordered a book, then you will get the date.
You know what I'm saying? Get the book, get the date. You don't get the date.
You know what I'm saying? This is how that's going to go. This is how it's going to go. So listen, make sure you guys follow us on Awesome Me. Listen, we are almost at 200,000 subscribers. Depending on when you're watching this, we may already be there. Okay, our goal is to get to 1 million by the end of the year. I think we can do it. The way that we're climbing, I think we could do it. We're going to do it. Share this link with y'all. You know what I'm saying? With everybody that you know that needs to hear this message, with anybody. All right, follow me at Kenny Clutch on Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. My name is Kenneth Allen Thomas. That's Nick Mingle. That's Guy Still. And we are out. When we change the mind, we change the game. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow we're about itself. And today is all we got, y'all. I check y'all later. Peace.